In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. My beloved, today is the Temptation Sunday, the second Sunday of the Holy Great Fast. And it opens, the Gospel opens by something that's a bit peculiar sometimes and makes this question. It says that the Lord Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Spirit here is the Holy Spirit. So he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the Holy Spirit, was sent him there. It seems, you know, we can ask, okay, why was it that the Lord went there deliberately to be tempted? What did he want to teach us? Was there something significant for us to learn? Perhaps it was that he wanted to teach us that temptations are inevitable. If they came upon Christ, they will certainly come upon us for sure. Perhaps another thing he wanted to teach us is that perhaps that God permits temptation for our spiritual growth and edification. And we can ask the question, are there hidden blessings in temptation? Can there be hidden blessings when a person is being tempted? I'd like to speak about this morning, but before we do so, we have to make sure we understand the difference between trials and temptations. The trials are often, especially in the letter of James, they both are mentioned, and throughout Scripture, you'll find sometimes they're used interchangeably, but there's a difference in the meaning. Although they can be worded the same, but they're two different categories. The first one we can just call them trials, and these are the things that come upon a person from the exterior, outside of oneself. These are more associated with one's enduring of hardships and difficulties and grievances and all of these things. Similar to what happened with Job and his story. And sometimes God can permit these trials for a person's growth and edification and so on, and for the people around him, and for a person's glory. As St. James says, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." So there's something good that come out of this. Temptations, on the other hand, are more internal, and these arise from a person's inward inclination to sin, where I have the desire and I struggle within myself because I desire the sin, but something is telling me not to. So this is the inward struggle that a person has. And here St. James clarifies, and he says, and makes the distinction between the two. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." So he says God cannot be tempted. So then what happened on the mountain? The Lord Jesus was never enticed to listen to or even consider what Satan was saying. His was more of a temptation type of trial from the outside, because he was never enticed. However, with us, we have maybe the outside, which then can take root in the inside and maybe produce a sin. And he continues and says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." So his own desires, he's drawn away and he's enticed, and then of course he commits sin. So it's important that we understand the both of these. So what are some of the hidden blessings, perhaps, when we face temptation? A lot of this you'll find I'm quoting from St. Isaac the Syrian. St. Isaac the Syrian was a church father in the 7th century. He was born in Qatar and he lived, and it was in the Bishop of Nineveh very briefly. But most of his life he lived as an ascetic and a hermit. And he left for us, and thankfully that were recently translated, I guess in this past 100 years or so, were translated his homilies into English. And I've been reading them, so that's why you find many of the quotes, you know, from them. And by the way, today is, of course, Pope Carolus's his feast day, St. Pope Carolus' feast day. And actually, during his time of seclusion, when he was living as a hermit, he says that he was discipled by the letters of St. Isaac the Syrian. So, what can we learn from St. Isaac about how is it that these, are there any hidden blessings and temptations? The first, he says, is to gain understanding and knowledge when we are tempted. He says, "It is not possible for us to know the truth unless temptations are allowed to come upon us." So he says we can't know the truth unless we're tempted. So there is some kind of knowledge or understanding that is gained when one is tempted. So what is that knowledge that we gain when we are tempted? Number one is we learn the difficulty and the tiresomeness of the tempter and temptation. If you look, for example, at the story of Joseph, when he was in Potiphar's house, and of course we know the interaction that happened between him and Potiphar's wife, but maybe perhaps there's one line in the scripture that passes us by, and this is in Genesis 39:10. He says, "So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her and to be with her." So this wasn't just a one-time event. It was day after day, the continual pestering of him, until one day he left his garment and he fled, right? This is how what Satan does. It's this continual pestering of mankind. So when I am tempted, I understand, I see how Satan is pestering us day by day. When we're vulnerable, this is when he attacks us and so on. This demonstrates the exhausting yet spiritual inward nature of resisting temptation. We're in it for a marathon, not a short sprint. The second thing, understanding we gain is the cunningness of the enemy, his cunningness. If we recall back in the book of Genesis, when it opens, it says, when the serpent was tempting, before he tempted Eve, it says that the serpent was more cunning than all of the animals in the garden. He was cunning. You know, and again, if we look at the way that Satan tempts mankind and tempts us, he does so in a very cunning way. You know this phrase, when it rains, it pours? That's like that. You'll find, okay, you have a hard day at work, and that's the one day the kids will misbehave, and your wife's upset at something, your husband's upset at something, and you feel like everything is happening at one time. Right? It's not that this is Satan is planning this, but he's taking the opportunity when you're stressed or vulnerable or weak to send the temptation, to send a thought, to send an image, and so on. He's very cunning and crafty. The more that one is tempted and reads the experience of the saints and how they face their temptation, the more we see his cunningness and perhaps makes us aware and prepared. The third understanding we receive when we are tempted is the awareness of one's own weakness. When we're tempted and we say to ourselves that this is wearing me out, we understand that we are weak. St. Peter, on the night of the Last Supper, when Christ was telling them that he was going to go and be taken by the Jews and the Romans and will be crucified, St. Peter, he stood up and he said to the Lord, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." He meant every word of this. He meant it. But when he was tempted and was put in the situation between him and the servant girls and began to say, "You sound like a Galilean, you must be one of them." He says, "I don't know him." And he swore three times that he didn't know him. The Lord told him, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me." He realized his weakness. This is why when Christ restored him and he met with him and he asked him three times, "Do you love me?" The first two times he says, "I love you, Lord." And the third time he didn't say it again, because he understood his weakness. What did he respond and say? "You know all things." "I don't know anything. You know all things." He understood his weakness. And as soon as he understood his weakness, he was able to be an apostle again. We gain awareness of one's weakness when we're tempted. Number three is that we understand and recognize God's protective grace. When we are tempted and we endure the temptation and we see God's grace in this, this is an experience gained for us. St. Paul tells the Corinthians, he says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape." So if there's a temptation, there'll be a way of escape. Whether we take the escape or not, this is up to us. But there'll be a way of escape. Again, this is God's hand, it's protected. When you remember in the story of Job, when Satan came and wanted God's permission to harm Job, there was an asterisk. He said, "You can tempt him, but don't touch his self. Don't touch his soul." Right? There was this protection. The first blessing or hidden blessing of temptation is that we gain understanding and knowledge. The second is humility. We gain humility. Saint Isaac says, the shortcomings of those who watch over themselves are the custodians of their righteousness and are permitted by God so that their transgressions and failings should be a cause of humility. So he says, the shortcomings of those of us who are watching over ourselves, these same shortcomings are our custodians to righteousness. Having these shortcomings in my life and my weaknesses, whether personality, whether ability, whether in mind, whatever it is, these are there as custodians to one's righteousness. And he continues, this humility protects the labor of great men, not only by preserving them from pride, but also by humbling them with the recollection of their failings. In this manner, they also receive a great recompense. So he says we gain two things from recalling our sins and the temptations. One, it keeps us humble. It keeps us humble. If you remember St. Paul, when he prayed to the Lord because he had a thorn in his flesh, and if this gets healed, he can serve better. And he asked God three times for him to take this thorn. And the Lord Jesus responded to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In a nice way, he said no. Right? He told him no. Why? Because then this would protect him from pride. And this is what St. Paul realized. Also, when we recall our temptation and our sin, this also humbles us and fills us with compassion when we deal with one another. Do you remember David, when he fell into sin with Bathsheba? He not only fell into sin with her, but he also killed her husband, right? Had a child from her, and he didn't pray between this and when Nathan came to rebuke him, right? Finally, when the prophet Nathan came to rebuke him, and he confessed and said, I am the man. You know what he composed? What he wrote down? He wrote down Psalm 50, the one we pray every day in the Egbeyah. And what does that psalm say? It says, for I am conscious of my iniquity, and my sin is at all times before me. What sin are you talking about, David? Well, the sin that I committed with Bathsheba and killing. This was all the time before me. So then when a man came and started cursing at David, and his soldier said, let's chop off his head and get rid of him, David said, no, perhaps God sent him to curse me. How was he able to do this? Because he saw his own sin before he saw the other person's sin. So one of the blessings of temptation is that it keeps us humble. We recognize our weakness and we accept God's grace and help. The second hidden blessing is that it brings us closer to God. It brings us closer to Him. Listen what St. Isaac says. He says, He permits man to be tempted that this trial may become to him a cause for drawing near to God, and also that he may be instructed and have the experience of temptations. Temptations prompt us to seek God fervently. If you want to think in our lifetime, when did we go and we pray the hardest? When we were in temptation or a trial, right? That's when we went to God and we prayed very fervently. There was a Serbian bishop in the time of World War II who was taken prisoner by the Nazis. During his life, he composed a beautiful prayer. And this prayer is called, Bless My Enemies, O Lord. If you want to ask yourself, okay, what did the Lord Christ mean when he says, love your enemies and bless those who curse you? Read this prayer. It's a beautiful, beautiful prayer. I'll read a couple of excerpts from it for you this morning. He begins and he says what? Bless my enemies, O Lord. Even I bless them and do not curse them. Enemies have driven me into your embrace more than friends have. Friends have bound me to earth. Enemies have loosed me from earth and have demolished all my aspirations in the world. Bless my enemies, O Lord, even I bless them and do not curse them. When I have made myself wise, they have called me foolish. Whenever I made myself mighty, they have mocked me as though I were a dwarf. Whenever I have wanted to lead people, they have shoved me into the background. Whenever I have rushed to enrich myself, they have prevented me with an iron hand. Whenever I thought that I would sleep peacefully, they have awakened me from sleep. Whenever I have tried to build a home for a long and tranquil life, they have demolished it and driven me out. Truly, enemies have cut me loose from the world and have stretched out my hands to the hem of your garment. Look at how he looks at his enemies. Rather than like cursing them, speaking bad about them, he considers them a blessing. And this is coming from one who was imprisoned by the Nazis. Right? So when he speaks and thinks about enemies, they're real enemies. Right? Temptation brings us closer to God. Our enemies might bring us closer to God. The fourth hidden blessing of temptation is that develops our faith and boldness before the Lord. Saint Isaac says, "Prepare yourself with all your soul to receive bodily temptations." And notice here he says bodily temptations. Because sometimes we feel and we believe that temptations in all the spiritual realm is just a mental and spiritual experience. There's no, we're whole, in body, whole, and spirit. And the temptations that come to us in the spirit or in the mind have a physical aspect to it. The body too is incorporated. So he says, prepare yourself with all your soul to receive bodily temptations. Voyage in them with all your members and fill your eyes with tears. So the angel who guards you does not depart from you. For without trials, God's providence is not seen, and you cannot obtain boldness before God, nor learn the wisdom of the Spirit, nor can divine longing be established in you. This idea of boldness before the Lord, we say almost in the end of every fraction in the Divine Liturgy. We say, so that with a pure heart we may dare with boldness without fear to cry out to you, Holy Father. What does it mean when we say with boldness? Can we really be bold? I mean, we're God's creation. Can we really be bold? Do we mean that we're going to be bold and spread our chest in front of God? Certainly not. But what does this boldness mean? It means that we approach God confidently in prayer and worship and to the Eucharist, assured of His love, mercy, His forgiveness, rather than being fearful and ashamed. Sure, if we approach the Eucharist through repentance and prayer and worship and devotion, then yes, when we stand before Him, why would He reject us? So we stand with boldness because we're confident in His love and His mercy. But if I come and I just, you know, without regard to repentance, without regard to making my life straight or reconciling with my brethren, and I just come and I take, you know, communion and stand before Him, then we ought to stand before Him with shame and with fear. But when we come with reverence and forgiveness, then we stand before Him with boldness. Not as one who is arrogant, but one who is thankful. Our enemies and the temptation develop our faith and boldness before the Lord. Number five, the fifth hidden blessing is the gifts of discernment. Temptations can give us a gift of discernment. Saint Isaac says, without entering into temptation, no man will ever gain the wisdom of the Spirit. If the soul does not taste Christ's sufferings consciously, she will never have communion with Him. So temptations provide spiritual insight, granting discernment to clearly distinguish between good and evil. It's like gaining experience in something. When you gain experience in the job or whatever, you start to learn the tricks of the trade. You start to learn the signs beforehand. Right? So then you can make judgment calls even before maybe somebody or some novice would, because you see things already that I've seen 100 times before. St. Paul kind of, you know, expounds this when he speaks about, he describes this, or gives the example about this when he speaks about food. In Hebrews 5, he says, solid food belongs to those who are full age, meaning spiritually mature, those who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So he's saying here that the spiritually mature is able to discern between good and evil. How? It's because he has his senses exercised. He has experience in seeing good and seeing evil, doing good and doing evil. What comes of doing good and what comes of doing evil, right? So he sees that. So the person who is mature is the one who has experience in this and sees this. Those who are mature have used and exercised their senses. So temptation is a means by which our spiritual senses are exercised. If we want to develop maybe patience, how would one develop patience if one is never tested? If I want to develop love, how would I, or love my enemies or those who hate me, how would I do so if nobody ever hated me or said something against me? How can I practice silence if I never have no one to talk to? Or if I have someone to talk to all the time? If I'm busy on my phone? If I'm always chatting with somebody? How can I practice silence? But when I'm in those situations, then this provides the atmosphere to practice. Is that when I'm with my friends, or a group of friends, I don't have to be the one who is speaking. I can practice silence. When there are a group of people who are talking, I don't have to give my opinion without being asked. I can maybe wait before I'm allowed to give it, before or ask before I give it. The sixth blessing of temptations is it reveals one's path. And I'll just read the excerpt because it's pretty self-explanatory and it's pretty revealing. It says, whenever in your path you find unchanging peace, beware you are very far from the divine paths trodden by the weary feet of the saints. For as long as you are journeying in the way of the city of the kingdom and are drawing nigh to the city of God, this will be a sign for you. The strength of the temptations that you encounter, and the nearer you draw nigh and progress, the more temptations will multiply against you. So what is he saying? If you're going through life and you feel like you have no sin, you have no temptation, then you're very far from the divine way. But if you're going through life and you feel like there's temptation after temptation, then he says you're likely on the right path. Why? Because if you're on the wrong path, then Satan could care less. He doesn't need to tempt you. You're already headed that direction. But if you're headed in the right direction, then he sets up his traps and he puts these, you know, temptations in front of you. So if I'm going through life with no temptation or hardship, then we need to reevaluate. I'm not saying we should, live by Nakadeen and try to find troubles in our life. And no. The temptations come without us. If God, yes, there are times in life, thank God, that they are peaceful. And everything is peaceful and this is a gift from God. But the temptations are not always outside. They're also inside, right? Lastly, the last hidden blessing of temptation is it's the source of one's reward. It will be the source of our reward, my beloved. St. James says what? Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So if we endure the temptations faithfully, then this will be the crown by which we will be crowned. If there is no temptation, then why would we be worthy of any crown? If there is no hardship in the world, no evil in the world, then by what way are we going to be crowned? We did nothing. Everything was given to us on a platter. Why should we be rewarded for this? But when we endure hardship and temptation, this provides the basis for which God to crown us in His kingdom and give us these crowns. Just again as He did with Job. After Job was restored, all of his possessions were restored and more, and then he had another 10 children. So his children were multiplied. So in heaven, rather than having 10 children, he would have 20 children, right? Because of his faithful endurance and patience in temptation and trial. So he said the hidden blessings of temptation were understanding and knowledge, humility, it brings us closer to God, develops our faith and boldness before the Lord, gives us the gift of discernment, reveals one's path, and is the source of one's reward. However, I want to note that the blessings these blessings come when we faithfully endure temptations, not when we subject ourselves to temptation. I'll repeat it again. These blessings come when we faithfully endure temptation, not when we put ourselves and subject ourselves in temptation. And this is exactly what the devil tried to do with the Lord in the temptation on the mountain. He told him, he put him up in the top of the pinnacle of the temple. You know, on the temples where they pray. So there's tons of people there in the courtyard. And he said to him, throw yourself from the temple and the angels will carry you lest you dash your foot against a stone. And how did the Lord respond to him? He says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. How is it that he's tempting the Lord his God? Well, I'm tempting him by putting myself into a vulnerable situation and say, God help me. No, Who said for us to do that? That would be testing God. But when we go through life and we face temptation, we call upon Him. But I don't go to a place where there's going to be temptation. And I know there's going to be temptation and say, God's going to protect me and help me. No, He won't. Why would He do that? Don't go, you put yourself there. Then when you find yourself surrounded by people who are like this, then He'll protect you. Because I didn't go with my own 2 feet. But if I go my own 2 feet and I cry out, help me. And then He says in Matthew 6, as we say in the Lord's Prayer, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the enemy. The blessings come, my beloved, not when we subject ourselves to temptation, but when temptation comes to us and we endure them patiently. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.